Okay, so welcome to today's session, and it's nice to see you all. So on today's call, we have John, Peter, Anna, and Faith. Definitely appreciate your presence on the call and consistency as well. One of the things that is good to understand about fellowship is the way, even as we've been looking with regards to the gifts and the edifying of the body, courtesy of the gifts that have been dispensed to the church, we come to the understanding that, you know, it's only when you're within the body that you can be able to receive of Christ, right? Been able to cover Ephesians 3:10, which is shows the mandate of the church, that when you want to understand this multifaceted wisdom of Christ, it is the church, it is the body that you will come to. It is the church that you will actually engage with. The church is the only entity licensed to teach about Christ, because Christ gave it the ability to teach deeply about himself and even perfect the body. So today we are going to go back to understanding the completeness basically we have in Christ. And we're going to go back to Colossians, basically the chapter that we essentially started with. We're still going to touch on Ephesians a bit, but we're going to go back to Colossians 2, because ideally we're breaking down the one desire theme, which was Colossians 3. And we went, since it starts with therefore, we had to go a chapter back to understand context. So today's reading will be coming from Colossians 2:10, right? So Colossians 2:10 says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And ye are complete in him. So the fact that it starts, and that when it starts with, "And ye are complete in him," and ye are complete in him, there's something about having absolute terms in the word of God that frees you from any gray area of the word. Having terms such as "you are complete," right? And if you go back to listen to what we've discussed in the past, we've discussed that some of the components, right? What I can say is they are introductions only to some of the to the key components that we have in Christ, namely our redemption, our position in him, where we have found the possibilities that are resident in us, our ability to walk righteously and express godly character, and also like the ability to show our conduct towards each other as believers as well. Just to mention, you know, the few. What we are going to continue looking at is seeing other aspects of one, you are complete in him, to see other aspects of completion. And when you get to understand that being complete in Christ means that when someone wants to take you out of a consciousness of Christ, they will have to introduce a teaching that touches on your completion. So one thing to watch out for. If anyone is meant to ruin a conviction you have about Christ, they will touch on an element of completion, meaning there will always be a "but you need to do," you know? There'll always be a "but you need to say." There is always be a "but there are these steps to X, Y, and Z." In as much as we do respect principles, you'll see necessarily like why the divine principles for that matter, you'll see why completeness encompasses a lot more than just that. Or rather encompasses that, but that's not the main thing. That the primary principle of the kingdom is love. That when you're told that you're complete in him and you function from the motive of love, then you have access to all things, and whatsoever you do of a pure motive. It's one thing to say that you are complete, complete meaning that you are perfect in Christ, right? That's what that word translates to. That by being complete, it means that you are perfect. You have been given everything that you need for, as Second Peter would say, for both life and godliness, meaning for living out the life of Christ and also display, and also reflecting the character of God and the possibilities of God, right? The one thing we need to understand is that when you come to the place of faith, and faith does not mean necessarily believing. No. Like when you come to the place in your Christian walk, which is defined as the faith that you have, right? So when you come to the place of your walk as a believer and your life as a believer, where you understand that indeed you have all things in Christ, that indeed there are possibilities upon possibilities that the life of God offers you, you start to live life differently and you start to operate differently. We have mentioned before that the understanding that you have, when Paul mentions basically in Ephesians 1, he goes in and he and when he's making basically the prayer, he says, where in Ephesians 1:15, he says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, the people of God, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep, intimate knowledge of him." Now, this is a verse I like, verse 18. "By having the eyes of your soul," it says heart, but by now you should understand that these components refer to the soul. "By having your heart, mind, essentially, and will," but he says heart as an entry point, "flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance," how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, who are his set apart ones, right? So you may, one, understand the possibilities you have, the thing that you have been called to, the thing that you have actually been given an assignment towards, and also understand what the inheritance you have is in the body, all right? So if you go to Ephesians 3 again, another prayer is also made, and you will see the common factor in what he prays, right? And he says, "For this cause I bow," Ephesians 3:14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory," the abundance, "to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man," "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints," again the body, "what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." And he goes on to say, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us," right? "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen," right? Now back to Colossians, where we started. We've seen the prayer of Paul, whereby basically he prays for knowledge, he prays for light. He asks that, he wants this understanding that was, that this understanding about the mystery, I mean, the understanding, the revelation, the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of the love of Christ, to fill your heart, to understand its dimensions, its multifacetedness. That's what basically he was referring to. And you ask yourself, why is it that the prayer that he made for them was understanding? Yes, strengthening the inner man. And then when you look at there, he goes on to mention like, oh, this will happen is as you begin to know. Because when you begin to know, you open up your heart to certain possibilities. You now start walking from a place where you have complete understanding and not hearsay or partiality, right? Which we've also discovered that this is the kind of perfecting that the gifts are meant to do. That the gifts in the body are supposed to bring believers to such a place of comprehending their completeness in Christ. And that is a subject that you can never finish on earth. In eternity, you can learn about it eons upon eons. But the thing is, on earth, you can never finish that topic. But you can learn it so richly that you become the manifestation of what 2 Peter says, that you are a holy a nation, you know, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and more so like a peculiar people, that you begin to manifest the peculiarity that is yours. You know, we're coming into a time whereby as the completeness, the true completeness of patterns, whatnot, everything that a believer has, and the meditation of that and the study of that aspect of completeness will cause people to do things that are previously thought either to have been lost in history or things that science will even need to investigate to find out like if this thing really, really happened. Things that will confound the laws that we know, physics or biology or of weather even. We are getting to a point whereby the more this is taught, the more the believer understand the completeness that they have, that people will even walk in such a dimension of self-induced healing from long-term illnesses and diseases, that you come to a place whereby as you study, in fact, the quickest way to walk in healing and walk in seeing that healing capacity that is in Christ, right? Who is in you manifest, is to stay on the possibilities of Christ, where you keep them in your mind and you stay there, right? You stay there because the thing that God has given us in completion is a guaranteed end. You know, the thing is, when he defeated, right? We'll even get to read that in Colossians 2. When Christ defeated death, he made absolutely, he put an end. He created a different type of system that the believer is living in. The believer starts their journey at a place whereby, yes, you have all this in you, but you need to sit under a gift to teach you, to grow it out of you, to edify, to perfect it, to give you the character, to show you what you have, so that now you begin to enact it in your own life, right? We're getting to the place whereby as now you begin to meditate on these truths, because the thing you need to understand is completeness has to be taught in an absolute fashion. And absolute, I mean this. I'm not saying that, oh, you don't teach from the Old Testament, you only teach from the New. No. I'd be an error to say that. No. You teach the completeness. You major on that which Christ has done. You can use whatever stories you need to do for learning, for life, for bringing the believer up to maturity. All those are necessary. But the one thing we need to understand is that the more you stick to what counts for completeness for a believer, the more power of Christ you actually see radiating through their flesh. And flesh, I mean like the human flesh that they have. The more you actually see their minds transformed, you know. There's a pastor I used to listen to, and he'd say like, you know, the teaching of the pure word of God actually brings someone to sobriety. Like you cannot, it's the teaching of religion and do's and don'ts and suspicions and spirits and whatnot and who is chasing you, who stole what. Generational upon generational curse, yet you are a new creature in Christ. You know, things that teach limitations in Christ actually mess up the psychology of someone. Because if you picture the part where someone has actually been told that Christ has given you all things, you know, when you teach apostolically, right, the apostolic teaching is part of that completeness, where Paul says, you know, let him that stole steal no more, but work so that he might have to give. You find that when you teach that way, someone is able to actually embrace a certain way of doing life that is even wholesome for the society, if you look at it. But someone who is kept in suspicion almost is schizophrenic in a way, because you're always viewing things from the lens of possession, attack. You know, when you're meant to be sleeping, you're awake fighting people who are not there. You know, it's a very hard life, if I may say so, to live under such limitation. Yes. It's a very hard life. You know, it's a burdensome life that someone has the life of Christ, but is being burdened, right? So if you go to Colossians 2, verse 10, it says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, right? So you start from the point of headship, you are complete. And then verse 11, we start with, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, meaning raised, resurrected and raised, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, right? Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was basically the law that condemns, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So basically that's a mission of why he died, to fulfill the law. And you have been told it was nailed on the cross. Verse 15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, the defeat, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In that block of text, you can literally stay there for years, just trying to understand. The reason why I've read it just bit by bit is so that, you know, in the limited time we have, we just at least are able to build a good picture. That these are the liberties that Christ has done. This is the foundation upon which you and I stand. The foundation that, one, the circumcision that we have, basically the putting off of what is called the old, known as the old man. You can read Romans, the book of Romans for that, between chapters 5 to, I think, 7. To understand that. We understand that we have new life, right? We have a life of Christ. We have a life of Christ. Christ gave us his life, right? He gave us his life. We put on the life of Christ. The life of Christ resides in every person who believes in the message of God, in the message of the resurrection of Christ. But just by believing that, that's it. The life of Christ resides in you, and you're part of the body. And you understand that these are the liberties that Christ has given. So it then means that if someone is to introduce a teaching that is contrary, one, they will either attack the kind of circumcision you have, basically meaning that, oh, not everything was dealt with. So they'll be like, no, not everything was dealt with. You know, there are still some things. No, everything was dealt with. We'll look at there are things that require your participation, but the thing is, you participate from the place of victory, right? So remember, you start from a perfect end, but you start from a limited beginning physically. This is what I mean. When I don't have, like, I'll say this. So I have a 1.10. I normally say years like that. But basically, 1 year, 10-month-old child. Now, guess what? I do not have to have faith in the unknown that this baby will grow, all right? Biology, literally, like, as in, you don't need to have faith that your child will grow unless there is something wrong, right? Factors held constant, this baby has everything. That body they were given has everything required. All he needs is nurturing, right? That body, every function in there has an end. Like, there's a certain point of a completion that body is heading to. Its end is sure. It's very sure. There's a sure end to how the 7-year-old will look like. There's a sure end to how my daughter at 12 years will look like. In fact, having a medic here, they've documented every phase of how that body will look like. There's going to be no shock when something gets there, right? Now, the thing is this, that is what we see physically has been able to be studied. Well, guess what? The life of Christ was also given to you in that fashion. Everything is in you, but your understanding is what is limited. Because you've basically seen how in Ephesians, Paul is able to actually, Paul is said, by having the eyes of your heart flooded. That word, I began to see the importance of it, flooded. He doesn't use any other word. This is flooded. That word flooded with light means that you need as much, you know. In fact, in the KJV, it just says that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That you need a constant radiation within you, a constant inflow of this information of who you are, a consistent flow of your liberties in Christ, of your responsibilities in Christ, of your responsibility to the body. In fact, when you teach someone what they have in Christ, their liberties, responsibilities, what to express, all that comes out of them, right? All that comes out of them. You teach them that these people will be pushed to listen to the Holy Spirit. They will listen to God. They will learn how to give of themselves, right? In fact, you are usually told you don't tell people to give, well, unless you can't train them by asking them initially. But when you teach them what they have in Christ and teach them about giving, people actually reflect it. Ideally, it is you put information in. People meditate on that information, and that information releases life into their soul. So you come to find out that the thing here is the more someone sits under sober teaching, the more they listen to it. And here I am saying that when in the book of Acts, you see people being taught daily. It wasn't like an 8-to-5 thing, but they would go, they would do their businesses, and then they would come to the temple to learn. And then they would be taught, and then they would go and do their businesses and then come. And then they would go and then do their businesses and then come back. And you look at how the church in Acts was able to basically manifest that these people, having been flooded with light, right? Before even the Pauline epistles even came, as in having just the understanding, going, searching through the Old Testament scriptures to see the revelation of Christ, to see the work of Christ, they were searching out the scriptures to divide and to see that which they had received, to learn more about it, to know its capacity. The thing is, you stand in the place of completeness and you stand in a place whereby you are not going, as in your end is sure in whatever matter. Here's the thing. Healing as an example. Christ has healed. In fact, by his stripes we were healed, right? He has taken away our infirmities. You see, the thing is, when you believe that that is the case, it's when you continue to entertain that possibility by daily reciting, daily listening, you will begin, first of all, depending on what is ailing you. you may have the initial understanding. I mean, given that you have a nascent understanding initially, you may have certain conflicts, but and those conflicts will most likely question one of these things, such as the circumcision, right? And in verse 11, it says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision with Christ. And verse 12 is where it's beautiful. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith operation of the operation of God. So it was a God work, right? Who raised him from the dead. Now, if God raised him from the dead, and that is through the faith of the operation of God, right? So God raised God. So God brought himself out of Sheol, ideally. He brought himself to the place of resurrection, having conquered death. And once he defeated the law of sin and death, it means that one of the things that you have access to, one of the things that's a reality for you, is healing. Healing in the full sense of the word. But then you see that this is just potential, a possibility that is there in Christ, that now you need to start exercising the understanding. That is now where you start to function from the place where you start to speak over your life, over yourself, and you continually meditate on it, saying it. Yes, your body may be a certain way, may feel a certain way, but one thing we understand is that the way, remember, you have the life of God in you. It has an expected end. It is guaranteed to have an expected end. It is guaranteed. The end is sure. The end of the matter is that I was healed, not I am going to be healed. You don't even say I'm going to be healed. You don't even say I'm trusting for healing. Say I'm healed, right? I'm waiting for the manifestation. Very different thought pattern, right? I am rich in Christ, right? I am rich in Christ. He has given me all riches. In fact, one of the verses I even realized that points to this is Ephesians. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, for we are his workmanship, right? And Amplified says, for we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art created in Christ Jesus. Reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking parts which he said so that we would walk in them. In brackets, living the good life that which he prearranged and made ready for us. We are the workmanship of God. You look at that verse and there are so many things I cannot cover now, but I will just give a hint. If you're suffering financially, and you remember that you are the workmanship of God. You say the workmanship of God having been prepared for these works. Yeah, you're like, no, there's no way the workmanship of God can be broke. Now, the thing is, it is true circumstantially, there are issues. But yes, Anna, it is true circumstantially, there are issues. But when you stay, you see, the thing is, the end. You know whom I have believed, that he is able to keep that which, you know, he is able to keep that. In fact, let me even look for that verse. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. In fact, it is exactly. It is a 2 Timothy, whereby in 2 Timothy 1, in 2 Timothy 1, 2, Paul is able to boldly make a statement. Let me just open it. So it had opened another version. I'm just looking for a suitable version. 1 Timothy chapter 1. So it says, hold on. Oh, sorry. I think I opened 2 Timothy chapter 1. Yes, let's do this. So 2 Timothy chapter 1. Exactly, in verse 12. And he says, for the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, you find that Paul is able to talk from the place of liberty. I know whom I have believed. In fact, he begins to mention the persecution, acknowledging, for the which cause I also suffer these things, right? Now, he has given an entire statement of things, and then he acknowledges, you know what, by the way, things are not so good right now. Nevertheless, and then here's the thing, it transforms the statement back to the point of reality. In most cases, the reason why we don't see the life of God manifesting is because we do not post-fix the end of our woes with nevertheless. As in turn around, nevertheless, or but. You know, this could even be read as but. Like that notwithstanding, I am not ashamed. You know, he says, as in praise be to God, praise be to our God who always causes us to triumph. In fact, let me just look for that verse. Praise be to, yes, to God who causes us to triumph. And that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me just open it. No, each day there's a reason why. I mean, it is Bible study, so a lot of scriptures, good for one's heart. Let me see. Now it says, now thanks be in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, right? And make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. In Amplified, it puts it very well. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph, as trophies of Christ's victory, and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. So we come back to completeness, and we understand one thing, that when you are contemplating just those two verses, which point out to, there are many, many more verses. I've just said workmanship of God, you know whom you have believed, and you have also understood that Christ leads you into triumph. Not always, as in all these things are speaking from an end. When you know from which end you stand from, you don't mind how the middle looks like. You stand in the reality of what you have been given. So you keep saying that thing that you are God's workmanship. As you also listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit to understand which way shall he instruct you so that you may profit. Because there's also a place of being led, right? So as you are speaking, as you are talking, that indeed there is no way the workmanship of God is rich, you will begin to find yourself walking, growing confidence. And as that confidence grows, you will begin to have ideas, you will begin to have attitude change, you will begin to, why? All these internal things are small, minute. You'll begin to get attracted to certain kinds of knowledge. Now note, I did not tell you to go and get a finance course. No, I told you to acknowledge the riches of Christ in you, the abundance of the life of Christ in you. When you start from that point, you will even know what natural knowledge you need, because not every natural knowledge is beneficial. Not every natural knowledge is beneficial. So you will know what you need. You will be led into that which is necessary. As you continue to speak that, yes, you're looking for opportunity and whatnot, but the thing is, you say that, God, if I look at the life of Christ within me, the life of Christ has more than I could ever plan or budget for. The life of Christ carries infinitely more than I could ever work towards. And I don't know how many lifetimes. What you get by understanding the treasure of completeness, you can never get by I don't know how much effort or something of the sort using the current systems in the world. Yes, you will have to create value if it's in the course of wealth, but the way you will do it, so I'll give an ending. It's very interesting. The way we'll do it will be very different. And I'll say this. Christ, when he was asked, right, the multiplication, if you look at the possibilities that that Christ showed us, basically, whenever you read a story in the gospel, you should understand that that is Christ showing you how the life of the believer is. And he said, greater works than these will you do. All I'm doing is giving you previews, right? So every miracle you see, there's a thematic area it's addressing. It's not just a story. When you're young, you view it as a story, which is good. That's how my daughter will view it. Oh, did you learn? You learned about the multiplication of bread. Wonderful. God is a provider. Yes. But then now when you look at it from the eye of the mature, you understand certain nuances. That God, if this is a template, then it means I can work with anything and multiply. Then it means that when the life of God touches creation, when someone potent of the life of God touches a limited thing, that limited thing can have life. So for you, it is literally just being led to which place, where to start. And your size doesn't matter because you are full of the understanding of Christ, that you understand that I can multiply what I have with from where I'm at, that I can grow with what I have from where I'm at, that you have divine partnership. And this is a place that the believers are being led into, a place of understanding that the way they are going to get the world's attention, the way they are basically going to get the attention of people in the world is not by going to do things their way. No. You cannot win over someone by doing things in their system. You have to get the attention of someone by doing things, yes, using amenities they've provided. So, for example, and if you're in business, you will have to use roads and every other infrastructure that's created by people. But the systems is basically how men think, you know, not the non-living infrastructure, but basically how men think, how men promote, how people choose to move each other ahead, how people think about certain countries, you know, how people view perceptions and whatnot. And beyond those perceptions, people are able to ask themselves, how did you break through all these perceptions to get the things that you have? We have to investigate, ideally. We have to see what is this very thing that is happening here, that this person is able to transform an entire county, an entire city, using just the teaching of Christ. The thing you need to understand is that if you have even 10,000 believers who are potent of the life of Christ, an entire city is transformed. As in potent with the life of Christ, people who are taught consistently from the place of completion, not the place of limitation. You will have such levels of transformation in cities. You'll have such level of transformation in wherever you go. You'll basically have people who now, as it says, like you are now spreading the fragrance of Christ. The problem is you have people who have the life of Christ in them, but they have very little flooding. You know, you're not flooded necessarily. At best, it might be trickles or something of the sort. But ideally, the thing is to be flooded, to make it a point to be flooded with the light of Christ so that you can understand the rich treasure of the inheritance you have. And start calling out those possibilities. So I was saying before, like in healing, you start from this nascent understanding, but you understand that my end is that I am healed. And you begin the journey of waging war. Waging war is basically standing your ground. And as you stand your ground, you may even notice the situation becoming worse because the situation is trying to cause you to change your confession and change your statements. And change what you're saying. You know, it gets pressing, it gets frustrating. But remember, it is you that can take yourself into victory in the life of Christ. It is you that can also take yourself to defeat. Because it is your words, when the tests and trials come, as you even start to hold on to the word, it is what you say that will either determine your victory or your defeat, right? And God has given you a life that he wants to see manifested in that situation that you're in. That when you sit down and you decide that, even courtesy of, we have this wonderful thing that is rarely, rarely emphasized, you know, speaking in tongues. And our believers are supposed to be flooded with the light of Christ by just speaking in tongues throughout the day. That when they're at work, the one thing you can do is connect and fill your soul with that heavenly language. Is that you can just fill up your soul with that language so that the words that you read have a potency. Listen, these words, when you read that you're the workmanship of God and you've been praying for you've just been speaking to us throughout the day as you've been doing your work, as you're responding to things, as you're handling clients and whatnot. You do this consistently and one day there is a saturation level you get to. It has to break out into your flesh. That it has to break out into your flesh. And you begin to taste that sweet result because the enemy knows that your end is sure. But he knows that given that there's a fallen state, given that there is a training that you had of senses and respecting your senses, I can use that, I can manipulate, you know, I can do enough smoke and mirrors, afflictions, your body can be afflicted. Your body can be affected, but you understand that as you stand, as you make your stand in what you have, you will always go into triumph. That's what you always have to understand. The end of my confession is not a risk. Something you need to understand. What I confess is not a risk. As long as I am obedient, and number one, you're doing all this as you're part of a body, right? So you're not breaking protocol or anything of the sort. You're part of a body, but you're taking this seriously on your own life. You will understand that certain things will just become automatic to you. And the good thing about it is once your soul experiences victory in one area, it's gonna be expansive. And that's why the enemy is really, really afraid about people who know what they have. And you will fight the word and fight attempts to preach the true word. Of Christ, the completeness that the believer has. That churches which do this sort of thing will basically face the most level of persecution. Because if you can confuse the believer, well and good, the enemy knows that I have someone who is ineffective with the life of Christ. But if you can teach that which is true, you find that you are dangerous. Because even one person can wreak a lot of damage to the works of darkness. So remember this, that you work from an expected end. You work from an end that is, the believer works from an end that is assured. That everything that the life of Christ has given is eternally complete and manifests through the believer as they are flooded with this light. So with that, I'll close out the session today. And yeah, I hope you, I mean, I hope you learned and enjoyed, yeah. So I don't know if you have any reactions or comments probably on the chat section, but yes, I see, yes. I can know why I'm in Christ. It's not a mystery. Yes, thank you, John. In Christ, we have liberty, yay. Good sleep and long life is our portion. Very. Anna, you're saying, yeah, thank you so much for this teaching. It was really enlightening. Exactly, yeah. Just continue flooding yourself with light as well. As in, I'm telling you, when you understand the end of a matter and you stay there, as in there's no way that you will fail. Like you, there's no way that that life can fail. In fact, you'd rather say that my understanding, let it continue to improve of this matter. Because when you start, you have vague understanding. Okay. Then as you continue to hold on to it, your vision becomes clearer. And now you start aligning visual. And as you continue to align, the results will be very, very wonderful. The peace is unimaginable. And you will understand what it means to truly live a victorious life on the earth. So that's it. Do have a good night. And I'll see you next time.